the honourable members and MDDA, ICASA and Brand South Africa, as well as our guests. Films and Publications, FPB, how can I? This is the first meeting with our entities this year. And I would like to welcome everyone and compliments of the season. Everybody's serious, no response at all. Compliments of the new season. I am not sure if we are doing the right thing, but time will tell. In relation to quality engagement, to have so many entities within 3 hours, I'm not sure if it's helping us. Maybe we'll have to think differently and do things differently, because we don't want to tick the boxes. We want to deal with thorough engagement. But we're here. I mean, we have only 3 hours to deal with all this. An additional disadvantage, members, is that what we have from the entities is presentations. A presentation is meant to, for those who will be presenting, to talk to the document. What we don't have is the bigger document, where the presentation, from where the presentation was developed. I think that one compromises the engagement, it compromises the oversight, and again, it's ticking the boxes. So as we sit here, not a single member does have that, except the presentations. How are we going to deal with the content of what we're going to deal with if we don't have that document? Acting DG, I've raised this with you before the meeting, and I don't know why we only get presentations, not the actual document. Maybe at some stage we'll have to explain to us as to why are we, why is information not given to us. What are you hiding? But we'll have to start, and then I'm told it's MDDA that we're going to start with. We're going to start with MDDA because of their request, and members, MDD is going to make a presentation for about 2015, so that members can engage in 30 minutes. So we've divided the program to an hour, each entity, including presentation and engagement. So
just
ensure that you make justice. You don't go to Pretoria first before going to Lanesia. So you'll have to go straight to Pretoria, straight to Lanesia, not via Pretoria. Over to you, DG. Before DG, Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chief, for the opportunity. I just want to ask a quick question. If it's possible that you can maybe just give us an update on the appointment of the interim SABC board, and just explain to us why there's a delay and when it will be scheduled, because it's also a matter of urgency. I just would like to have clarity on that before we start, if you can. Thanks.
No, that's fine. Let's get done with the agenda. We have an agenda in front of us that we'll have to deal with, and then we can check and talk about that when we're done with the agenda. And members, if members have something before the day of the meeting, members can just send issues. Please consider this when you draw up the agenda. It's helpful for any meeting to do that. I think this is, but thanks, Honorable Van Dijk. I immediately thought about that when we were told we are coming here. At our committee, we were sitting here, this thing made a mess. Always off. So it's quite a nice venue, but it has a problem of. This side is working.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Good morning.
Just to save the
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members and colleagues from the entities. Just to say, honorable chair and honorable members, we are here with the entities to present on our performance for quarter one and quarter two from our entities. I think FPB is led by the chairperson, Ms. Pumblwana, she's sitting right there. And also I've seen the MDDA is led by the chairperson, Pelly Sonkomo. I've also seen the chairperson of the Brands of Africa, Ms. Koyama. She's sitting next to the CEO there. I'm told the CEO, the acting chairperson of ICASA is on his way, he will be here. But the CEO is here to lead the team. I think I don't need to make much remarks because of time constraints that we have. I think we'll be able to receive the presentation from the colleagues that we have seen as a department, and we have commented on them in terms of the performance. Also to say, we take the point that you raised earlier on, Chairperson, that in future we need to provide the committee with the narrative document that can assist the committee to be able to do its work and engage qualitatively with the team. Without wasting time, I'll hand over to the chairperson of the MDDA to lead the discussion. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Acting DG. In course, what you are doing, that person can't fight. So, and then you hit him hard. And then he can't respond. That's what you're doing to us. But next time, I think you'll correct it.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues from the entities. With me, I have a team. As indicated, I have a team with our new CEO, which I will speak about in a few minutes. I have a CFO, I have Mr. Lichelbeko, and our communication person. So I have a team of five people, and we're presenting our summary of performance for quarter one, quarter two. But perhaps before we just get into quarter one and quarter two, we thought that it would be prudent for us as MDDA to take the committee through on the issues they'd raised in our previous appearance before the committee. I think one of the key issues the committee had raised when we appeared was the issue of filling of vacant positions. And I want to indicate two critical things that we've done around the issues of HR, is that we have a new CEO, which is Mr. Temba Dlamini, is sitting behind me. I don't know if it's acceptable, Chair, for him to stand up so that everybody will see him. Okay. Can you smile, CEO? Yes, and our CEO comes with a wealth of knowledge in the area of state-owned enterprise and public sector. Then the other issue that the committee had expressed interest on was the issue around our social impact study. We want to report to the committee that the social impact study, which actually is sought to and to better understand the social dynamics on the ground in relation to community media, will be completed before the end of the financial year. And the second issue is really around the support for the print media. We reported to the committee in our previous appearance that the print media is not supporting the MDDA anymore. I think for a number of reasons. One of the reasons they've raised was the issue of their balance sheet that has shrunk. We actually in engagement with them because there are also other community print competitive issues that we're addressing with them. We want to draw the committee to the fact that we are working on the issue of disability, which they've raised with us, and as well as outreach programs, including the enterprise development. When we appear in our third to fourth quarter, we'll give the committee a much more consolidated report with a better narrative. I'm now going to hand over to my colleagues, who will then start taking us through the actual presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'll be taking you through the performance for the MDDA for the first two quarters. Start with the program structure. The programs in the MDDA starting off with our administration program, and this is comprised of our human resources, management, our monitoring and evaluation unit, the legal and regulatory affairs, financial management, risk, and information technology. The second program within the MDDA is the grant and seed funding, and this is the main program in the MDDA. And the main drivers are community broadcast media that we support, and also the print and digital. Our third program is advocacy and lobbying, and this program is made up of strategic programs and also the stakeholder management and the MDDA brand building. Our following program is capacity building, and this program is mainly for the purposes of training of the beneficiaries that we support. And then our last program deals with the research and development of the sector. So we look into pressing issues in the sector and how we can develop the sector. our next page just gives us an overall summary of the performance for the first two quarters. If we can see there from the presentation, there's an improvement from the first quarter, particularly because in the second quarter there's more activity taking place, and the team was moving much better. In terms of our program performance, I'll start off with our administration program. This is the human resources program. The first indicator that we have is the percentage of funded positions filled. At the end of the second quarter, we're able to attain a cumulative percentage of 56%. We're still in the process of filling the vacant positions. Most of the improvements or the achievements will be reported in the third quarter, because this is when the CEO has joined and a number of other positions have been filled as well. The other targets are annual targets, and they'll be reported in the fourth quarter. But then in terms of HR, there's a percentage of signed performance contracts. We are able to achieve 50% of this. As we fill in the vacancies, we'll ensure that all the performance contracts have been signed at all the levels. Our next element that we're looking at is monitoring and evaluation. Cumulatively, they've been able to monitor 29 projects, and in respect of the target in the year to date, this is doing very well because we are in line with the budget and the target. And also, our next target deals with the monitoring, the evaluation of the projects. Cumulatively, for quarter one and quarter two, we're able to evaluate 20 projects, and we achieve this. And then our last indicator in terms of the monitoring and evaluation deals with the coordination of the implementation of the Outcome 14 activities. We're able to achieve this target as well in the second quarter, because we engaged in quite a number of activities centered around Outcomes 14. Our next sub-program deals with legal and contracts management. And in this program, we were able to achieve the minimum turnaround of our signing of contracts with beneficiaries, which is limited to the 2 weeks. So this is helping in terms of the turnaround and passing of documents between the agency and the beneficiaries. In the second quarter, there were no litigation cases handled, and also there's no policy development review contributions made. I'll move on to the next program, which deals with financial management. We can report to the committee that in the second quarter, the cumulative performance achieved is 16%, and this is primarily due to the timing of the funds being received from our broadcast funders. But we can report to the committee that the funds that were expected to be received have been received in the third quarter, and we'll report on this in the next presentation. In terms of the number of assets counts done, cumulatively we have we've conducted one asset count, and then the next asset count will be reported in the next quarter. Feedback from the outcome of the audit, the MDDA was able to achieve that target because we received confirmation of the qualified audit for the 2015-16 financial year. So that is achieved, and we'll continue to work to improve the outcome. And then in terms of the last indicator in the financial aspect is the policy and manual development, and this will be reported in the fourth quarter, still work in progress. Our next program deals with the risk and audit. We were able to achieve the target of the three-year rolling plan. This was approved in the second quarter by the Audit and Risk Committee. So the audit, internal audit, have the plans well set out. In terms of the number of reports that were issued at the end of the second quarter, the target for the quarter was three, but they were able to achieve two. But then they've confirmed that they'll be able to make up for the difference in the third quarter. And then another sub-program under administration is our information technology. Cumulatively, we're able to ensure that there was adequate training of all the users in the agency. So this was achieved by our IT manager. The other targets here, Chairperson, they are relating to annual targets, and they will be reported in the fourth quarter. We'll move on to our program two, which is the core program of the MDDA. We were able to support the number of community radio stations that we were able to support. Our target for the second quarter was three, but we were able to achieve five. And this was good news for the broadcast team because we were able to secure additional funding from our funders. And also the number of community radio stations.
Hold on. Members, do you have the correct documents? Do you have the... Because I was looking at what I was given now, it's totally different. Do you have the correct document? And which one is the correct document here? Well, there are two. This is what you get now, the thick one. And there is the small one. I was looking at what we were given this morning. It's different from what you are using. See, this is the problem of many documents, because we have two presentations. We're told this one is the new one, the thicker one, and this one is the old. And looking at the new one, I don't even have program one on it.
apologies.
Which one must we use so that we follow you?
The new one, apologies for that, Chairperson. Made a mix up with the presentation.
The new one doesn't have program one.
No, it's at the end. It's at the end, but then we should use the new one. Apologies for that.
Because once we do that, you'll run before us and we don't follow you.
Apologies.
Let us agree. Can you look at the old document on program one,
okay.
Or do you have program one on the new one?
Yes.
Where is it?
It's towards the end.
Are you getting it, members? Towards the end.
It's from page 20.
Yeah, it's towards the end. So program one is towards the end. In which program are you now?
On program two now.
Okay. Members, let's use the new document, the thicker one, the bigger one. Okay, let's go to program two. Use the thicker one, which is new. Ne? Program two. That's where he is. We've started in program one. We are now in program two. It's page 11 of the thicker document. Can you proceed? Otherwise, we'll never finish.
Are you about to kick me out? Oh, at least it's working. You see, your apologies. I think I've expressed that, Chair. It becomes difficult, you know. We are given new documents, and this is out of order, I must say, Chairperson, through you. Because what happens is, for us to prepare for these meetings, you've got to get documents before. And yes, indeed, we did get some, and we prepared ourselves. We went through them so that we could come to the meeting well prepared. But then you now are given new documents. It becomes a problem, truly. It truly becomes a problem because we cannot do a proper discussion and come up with a proper laws at the end. It is wrong. And kindly guide us, Chairperson. And of course, I suppose all members will agree with me that this is extremely wrong. We can't come up at the end with something that is proper.
Thank you very much. We dealt with a number of issues when we started the meeting, including that one. The new document was circulated yesterday in a soft copy, but yesterday was too late to circulate that document. Can you go to that program two? The time is running out. Remember, we have an hour. And try to be clear and a bit fast.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Apologies, members, honorable members. Program two is our core program, and this deals with grant funding to community media. And we're able to achieve the funding for startup funding. Our target was 3, but we were able to achieve 5. And then for number of television stations supported, our target for the quarter was 1. We were able to achieve that target. Members, where we fall short is on the disbursements. Our disbursement target for for the cumulative Q1 and Q2 supposed to be 80%, but we were able to achieve 48%, but we can report that in Q3 there was an improvement, but we are working with our project to see how we can improve this rate going forward. Our next sub-program is print, and under here we were able to achieve our set target for number of small commercial media projects funded for strengthening. It was 2, and we were able to achieve that. For a number of new commercial media projects funded, our target for the second quarter was 2, and we were able to achieve 3. This was a good result for the for the department. Also, in this program, we were able to assist because I think the drive under communications is going digital. So the number of projects that were able to assist in terms of going digital, there were 8, and this target was achieved for this program. Our next sub-program. Under here is just a highlight to the committee in terms of the number of projects that we have supported over the quarter one and quarter two periods. The next slide specifically just deals with the spread in terms of where and how we have funded our projects for both the community broadcast and print and digital. Our next program is program 3, and this is advocacy and lobbying. And we were able to achieve a concept document on review of current model submitted. We were able to achieve this. In terms of in terms of capacity building and training, we were able to form strategic partnerships with training accredited training providers to assist with the training of the beneficiaries. Our target for the second quarter was 2, but we were able to achieve 1. But we can report to the committee that there were discussions with Mixita, responsible for training, and this will be reported in the third quarter. And then under capacity building, we had a target to facilitate training in finance, marketing, governance to the project. Our target for the quarter was 2. And we were able to achieve this. Our next
which program are you dealing with now?
Sorry, I was on page 18.
Which program?
For program 4, for capacity building. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, apologies.
And then program 3? Did you deal with program 3? Okay, proceed, program 4.
Program 4, apologies, members. Program 4 is our capacity building program, and this program deals with the training. And under here, I was saying we were able to, we had a target in the second quarter to facilitate training in finance, marketing, reporting, governance, and learning forum and grantee orientation. The target for the quarter was 2, and we were able to achieve the 2 target set. on the same program, there's a media literacy, where the media literacy workshop that was scheduled to be conducted in the second quarter. We're not able to achieve this, but then
I just want to understand, are we doing it for compliance or for the purpose? Because now, if we are doing it for the compliance, then we can crisscross this relationship. Because the interaction is quite continuous. We are walking at different points at all times. Every time you try to catch up, maybe there are even areas that are jumped. What do you think you go to follow a particular order? My worry is that if we're doing it for its purpose, can we do that?
I think we've started from program one, isn't it? We ran through program two, three, four, five. We are in five now. We are in program five. After the presentation, we'll then come back and engage. From program one up to program five. Where is the problem?
Maybe I must accept I'm the one who's following him in your code. Because where I'm speaking, there was this other document which was in a particular order which she corrected. Now you're coming to this one, and I thought now I'm trying to follow this one in the crooked way it is. And every time I think we are in a particular place together, I find that
Honorable Mwandi is not the only one who is lost. I'm lost too. Obviously, the confusion is caused by the issue that we have raised earlier on. The document arrived late, an amended document came just yesterday, now with the hard copies that we have. It's a very difficult presentation to follow. And if it was then possible, we're then going to allow the next entity to present so that they're then able to reorganize themselves so that we're able to do justice to the discussion. Because I'm afraid with the manner in which we're handling this particular matter, it will then be difficult as well for members to engage with the presentation. So my suggestion is, if possible, maybe let's get the next presenter and try and suspend this one for a while until such time that they are able to organize themselves well.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think I will support the Honorable that says let's allow this entity to go and reorganize itself, put the correct documents accordingly. Because where I'm seated myself, the Honorable Presenter is just talking to what is written here, of which where I'm seated I can as well read it on my own. It doesn't tell me anything. I can sit here quietly and read this, and he's doing exactly that. He's not talking to anything. So I really would want to support Honorable Sage to say, if they can just please. I know for a fact that we don't have time, Chairperson, but for us to be able to engage on the
Okay. Another color.
Thank you, Chair. I think Chair will. I don't agree that we must actually well, allow them or ask them to go back and rearrange. Because of a number of reasons, of course. They are here now. They will have to come and do the same thing. A waste of taxpayers' money. But besides that, I think we're going to be in this problem in all this presentation. The basic issue here is we don't have the basic documents of this presentation. So I think that's what confuses us, because what you get here, Honorable Monty, is just you are given something which comes out of a detailed, proper document on this, what happened in the court. And whether they can go back and rearrange pages or what, it's going to be the same thing. So it's what you were addressing earlier, Chair, the problem. I don't think to me as much. You know, I follow all these things. It's just written targets 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 88%, whatever percent. And they mean nothing to me without following what was in the original document, which informed this presentation here. So I think that's why they will have this problem in all these presentations, because it's precisely based on that. This is just a summary. So to me, I think they have moved already. Let's just conclude this and raise those things we want to raise.
Honorable Machova.
Thank you, Chair. I want to also to support the idea from Honorable Eleromo. I think we cannot stop it now, Chair. Let's go ahead. If we have missing, we have some few things that are missing in the document, we will raise after. We can't, because we are in the middle of the document now. I have that same fear of taking another presentation from other department, and we also face the same problem. What we will do? I'm not a doctor, a witch doctor. I'm just assuming. Let's go ahead with the presentation. Then we'll see after
You know, members, when we started the meeting, we raised the issue of a lack of documents where this presentation comes from. There is a report that we don't have. This is just a presentation. We raised that with the DG, and we said this is compromising the committee, because we don't have a document to refer. And we agreed that, be that as it may, we must proceed to have the presentations, as I was saying, quarter 1, 2, 3, or quarter 1, quarter 2, program 1, 2, 3, up to the end. Do whatever we can. It's coming back to the compliance. Do whatever we can without proper information. So we agreed that we must proceed in that fashion, because we don't have this document that is arming us for us to do a proper oversight. It's not going to come here now. Don't have it. What we have is the presentation. And we said we must proceed even if the situation is like that. So let us proceed, members. Let us listen to what these programs, Honorable Kongbe.
Well, I think that's the direction of the chair. One seems bound to accept that. I'm going to make it clear. I am very much uncomfortable to interact with the process which I can do nothing about. Because it's not only one, it's a problem of the absence of the basic document, as you say, lay presentation and disalignment. And you are expected to deal with that situation within an hour or even less than an hour, because I guess an hour is where we say, listen, within an hour you're supposed to deal with that. That's disaligned. No basic treatment. And I'm saying, we will do it and maybe we'll be kind of satisfied. But I don't, I must express my view. I got a very difficult interaction with some people, so I find it difficult.
Members, because we're going to waste more time, we're going to waste more time if we harp on this question that we started with when we opened the meeting. Because the fact of the matter is that we don't have the basic document, and we're not going to change that now. For future, yes, we'll have to demand that. I don't know why. Have we been dealt with like this? It's a problem. In short, honourable, so that we go through this thing, because we're going to get the same thing in all these entities. The coming entity is going to do exactly the same thing. It may differ on alignment of a document, but in terms of the basic document. All of them are like that.
To quote you, Chairperson, and I agree with those honorable members who say we can't go on with that report. Just to quote you, when you started now to summarize, you said, in quote, let's continue without proper information, quote unquote. That's exactly what you said. Now, what does that then imply? It means we're just listening to a story, and then thereafter, what happens? I think it's wrong. And we must say, even to the DGs there, that you have not done your work. Go and do your work, so that next time we have proper information for us to proceed with the work that we are here supposed to do. Even 1 hour, you say, go and prepare for an hour and come back. That does not take us anywhere. We need all the empirical evidence, all the proper facts, so that we then can be able to move forward and come up with the proper rules, proper facts, proper acts at the end. But then you are saying, Chairperson, let's continue without proper information. Then what do we do? What does that then imply? So the honorable members here, my colleagues who are saying, let's put that aside, because we're not going to do anything at all based on, as you put it, that improper information. That is not going to take us anywhere at all.
I think, members, you know, I feel sorry for the entities, the CEOs and the chairpersons. Because I think they did what they were supposed to do. Their mother organization is communication. I hope. Because what they do, documents go to communication department. And communication is supposed to give us those documents. I hope I'm right that the entities did that, so that we don't paint everybody with the same brush. Unfortunately, acting DG, it comes directly to you, because documents must be in the office. not in MDDA, in ICASA, and all of that, because surely they have complied and handed over documents to you. Because if you say pack and go, it deals with our program, because we have one day a week, Honorable said. It deals with our program. It deals with the taxpayers' money that Honorable Kalako was talking about. And in this case, that money is not from communication, it's from the entities and all of that. So we are not only dealing with communications here. And if not, yes, Honorable Tseti and Honorable Tolash.
I think all of us agree that we are faced with a serious challenge here. And I agree with you that it might be problematic to proceed with the next presentation, put this one aside. I remember I started this proposal. But having listened to what other honorable members are saying, with the challenges that might arise as a result of us putting it aside, I will agree with the vision that says let's allow them to finish. But it be noted that there are difficulties that are faced by the honorable members here, which will disempower the members to make proper engagements with the entity. But having said that, I think I agree with you, Chair, that perhaps let them conclude so that we're able to move to the next presentation.
Keep Honorable Tolas apart. The chairperson of MDDA, of ICASA, FPB, KPA, and Brand South Africa. These chairpersons I'll have to give them to speak. Because I want this to be very clear. If they failed to present documents to communication before we kill that man, if they failed, so that I don't assume that they did comply. I will give it to them, but after Honorable Tolash, all of them will have to speak, because we're dealing with a problem of documentation that disempowers the committee to do their oversight properly. Honorable Tolash.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wouldn't really want to further delay the committee. But I don't want us, as honorable members here, arguing, because we are further complicating. The people who don't do their work are seated quietly, nicely, and we are struggling here, we are on each other's throat, trying to explain each other, which is unfair. If you talk taxpayers' money, and you listen to Honorable Kongube, by listening to them, say, I'm sitting it, this is a but ignoring what we're here for, oversight. That's the implication. Because we need to do oversight over the entities. And oversight is to really listen to them, to what they said they're going to do, whether they've done that effectively. Now it's our business to explain ourselves. It's difficult, Chair. Whereas the people did not do their work, are seated nicely. Not bothered for that matter. I'm saying, Chair, let's proceed. But taxpayers' money, both sides, we are now benefiting, not having done anything, just listening. Can't engage, because there's nothing that we understand anyway. But at the end, it will be reported that the entities did report.
Okay.
That's what exactly what Honorable Kungubele is saying. So it's unfair, Chair. Let's agree to say, in your office, in the future, it must never happen again. We rather avoid sitting if the entities through the department did not bring their full report so that we are able to engage, so that we don't get into this thing of talking in parables as members, because it further creates unnecessary tensions as if we don't know what we are here for, or which there are people who did not do their job. So let's proceed, having noted that, but Chairperson must explain so that, but what should not happen again, that we come to a meeting where we don't have all the documents that will make us to effectively do our job, which is oversight in this case. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. MDDA, Chair, on what I said.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chair. And I profusely apologize to members for the presentation. I think there were two things that had changed in our presentation. In fact, perhaps let me confirm that the document we do as a procedure, it gets sent to the DOC before it comes to Parliament. And there were two things that had really changed on the presentation. One, there were just is the rearrangement, and we apologize that we did not explain that from the beginning of the presentation. Two, we accept that in our next appearance, we'll have a narrative document to actually explain the numbers that are reflected in the presentation itself.
Shanice, was that narrative meant handed to DOC?
No, Chair, there's no. Is there a narrative?
What?
Oh, yes, okay. My colleague is confirming that the narrative document was sent over to the DOC.
Okay. Ikaza? Just on, did you comply in terms of sending the document, the narrative, to DOC?
Chair, let perhaps we need to explain something. In August last year, we submitted Q1 report. Subsequent to that, we submitted Q2 report in October.
Yes.
A report, not a presentation. We prepared presentations for Q1, submitted to the department. We prepared presentations for Q2, submitted to the department. Last week, I got a call from Fred saying that the ministry is requesting that we combine the presentations. I won't say we defied, but we then said what we had submitted in Parliament is two presentations. So, and the presentation is a method of relaying information. Therefore, we cannot change the presentation. Our presentations, as they were submitted to Parliament and the Department at the present moment. The narrative, we didn't submit any narrative because we were not asked for any narrative, not from Parliament. What we thought was supposed to be submitted is the actual report that's giving all the details of the performance of the institution, what we have not done, why we have not done it, and all. Those have been submitted to the department, which we assumed should have been submitted also to Parliament.
Okay.
Thank you.
MDD, Brand South Africa?
Chairperson, we have submitted. I'll just ask the CEO to give the same type of detail of what we have submitted to the department.
Okay.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you very much, honourable members. Let me just explain the process before. First quarter report. Once we've done our performance as an organization, internal audit that performance. The AP would come and audit the performance. And that's a narrative report of what happened. And they look it against predetermined objectives. Once the audit has said they are submitted to the board, and the board sees quarterly, the board will then approve the quarterly report. It is a detailed narrative report. Once it has been approved, it's then submitted to the minister, signed by the chair of the board, submitted to the minister. We submitted our first quarter in June. We submitted our second quarter in September. We submitted our third quarter this January, ready. With narrative, then we prepare a presentation that accompanies that. stakeholders in the business sector and so on. Then we have the media strategy to carry out the work. So those are contained.
I think we are clear.
Yeah. Thank you.
FPP?
Chairperson, I thank you very much.
Chairperson and the honorable members, it's just to say that from FPP side, the same process was followed. All the quarterly reports were submitted first separately, and then we were asked to combine. And when we submit, we usually submit also with the cover letter with all the narrative that is involved. And so maybe going forward, we may have to look at how we do it differently, because what we have before us is for ease of reference for members of parliament. But we made an assumption that the basic document is available. Thank you.
And it is done. I think, Digi, do you want to say something?
Did you say something? Can I just get to know whether we did receive the apology of both the minister and deputy minister in this meeting?
Don't say that one. Don't say acting DG. Don't say if we feel that we need them, we can make them available. I think you have heard what members are saying. You have heard what I said to you in the morning.
I think we'll make it possible.
Last year, we did a critique of language and even said, probably we are equally responsible, us as the committee and the department, in dealing with that matter, that we need to meet and articulate terms of reference on how do we want to interact. So that when we say this is wrong, we are able to juxtapose it against what is right. Because, for instance, if you look at MDDA, just as an example, there's something I think they have corrected. Forget this jungle dundun, whatever that is here. We said you cannot articulate a vision as an activity. If you look at the way they have couched a vision. No, all what I'm saying. All what I'm making a general statement regarding the confusion that we're dealing with. And I'm saying last year we expressed views about the language we're using in reporting to each other. And I'm saying it deals with general references so that we can be able to say what has been given is not what we want, but knowing that there's a standing reference document that we've got a common understanding about, I think it's relevant to what we're discussing now. That is a general statement.
this is off. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On page 19 of the document.
It's page 19 of the document, members.
So this program is our fifth program, and it deals with the research and development. In this program, we conduct various research activities, particularly into issues that are affecting the sector. In the second quarter, we undertook one project currently here in Cape Town. There's a social integration project that we are facilitating, which is the Gugulethu Khayelitsha program. And this is coming from the ministerial objectives to ensure that there's engagement and to ensure that there's cohesion in the two communities. This project is at its high stages, and we can report to the committee that there's various tries that have been taken in this project, and feedback will continuously be given to the committee in terms of progress on what has been achieved. And then the next page, it's our apologies, Chairperson, again. We'd rearranged the document to start with our core programs. So this is essentially program one that we had gone through initially in the manner that we presented. if members can go to page 26, here we have given a report on the financial performance of the entity. Our main source of funding is from the department, and we have an annual allocation of 23 million. At the end of the second quarter, we had received half of that, which is in line with our forecast, and I would like to report to the committee that we're working well with the department in this regard. In terms of external funding, we receive funding from the mainstream broadcast funders. We have an annual budget of 34 million, and in the second quarter, we received 4 million, but we had received commitment from MultiChoice and SABC. That they would pay beginning of the third quarter, and MultiChoice paid 25 million, and SABC was able to pay us 11 million. So there's quite a lot of improvement in that regard, because we're able to obtain external funding, and this helps us with the support that we give to the communities. In terms of interest, all our funds to the communities before disbursement are ring-fenced in a secure investment. And at the end of second quarter, we were able to receive an interest of 2 million. And this is plowed back, Chairperson, to the communities, and it helps us with starting other projects around advocacy and research. Our next page 27 deals with the expenditure to date based on the different programs. Our first program is the print and digital. In here, we're budgeted to spend 9.5 million. But at the end of the second quarter, it's been 9.2. We are trying to ensure that we resuscitate our relationships with the print funders so that we can get more funding to assist in the print sector. Community broadcast at the moment is doing very well. We had anticipated to spend 25 million, but we spent 13 million. And this is by way of tranche payments to the broadcast funders. So we continuously engage with them for them to submit reports so that we can expedite the disbursement process. Under research, we currently have the research activities going on, which is the social impact and also the internal MDDA impact assessment. So we had anticipated to spend 2 million, 2.8, but we spent 1.4, and this is because we have the research projects have not yet been complete. Under program administration, we're currently in line in terms of expenditure. In employee costs, we still have a variance there, and we anticipate that with the filling of the vacancies, the budget will come in line in third and fourth quarter. The next slide on page 28 refers to what our MDDA chairperson was highlighting to, and we thought would include this in the slide because to serve as a reference point, and we would take seriously the recommendations that have been received, and we'll make sure that we address those in the next presentation. But this page deals with the previous remarks that the committee had raised, and we have responded to them. On page 29, we have included an additional slide to talk to the feedback and the progress to date regarding the audit and our audit action plans. What we have done is after completion of the audit for the 2015-16 financial year, we developed an internal dashboard that we report on monthly and quarterly to the department as well as the board, and this serves as a reference tool and also a monitoring tool to ensure that we improve the governance within the entity. At the end of the second quarter, we have been able to address 64% of the findings that came about. And on my next slide, we just show the spread in terms of where the main areas of concern were. And there's steady improvement in terms of addressing each of the findings that came from the Auditor General. I think what the chairperson had also highlighted is what we are currently in the process of implementing is filling up of the vacancies. But we note that there is significant progress in this respect. So we believe that once we are at a full complement, most of the issues that were previously raised will be addressed. and that is the last page of the presentation. We sincerely apologize to the committee for the confusion, and we'll not do it again.
Thanks very much. Members, if there are areas of clarity and engagement, is the time. Honorable Van Dijk. Van Dijk.
Chair, my first question that I would like to ask is page 20. The new organigram, I want to know if it differs from the previous one, and are there new positions, and if it's possible that the committee can get a copy. My concern is that the MDDA explains targets on page 9 and 10 are not met because of capacity limitations, and last year the vacancy rate was 57% and it's still 50%, and I want to know, have these positions been advertised, and when will they be filled? Because this is really a huge concern. Since we started with this committee, the vacancy rate in MDDA has been a matter of great concern. Then on page 15, no, it's actually, yes. I would like to, there's another question I just want to get clarity on. I want to know if the community media, do they only receive funding from MDDA or also from other government departments like GCIS, for instance? And if they do, is there a system where entities communicate on these allocations that are being made? Because if you look at page 15, I want to know, as a committee member, how do you arrive to these amounts? Some of the, these, for instance, these new radio stations, and they get less money than community radio stations like Sibonelli, that receive huge amounts, like 2.5 million almost, for strengthening. And they receive this on a yearly basis to... and I also want to know how much money of the budget is yearly spent on strengthening. There's some of the newspapers that started on in 2007 and 8, like in the previous presentation that was taken off, Wineland's Echo, for instance. They compiled with 40% ads and 60% news, which says, and they print twice monthly. But they also still receive over 700,000. And I want to know if you just give that type of money on a yearly basis. Some of them receive millions. How does these entities or these businesses learn to be self-sufficient? Also, Equazi News, they receive on page 14, they received also over half a million rand. And I went to the website and I couldn't find them. It says that they in Eastern Cape, but on the website, the Equazi community paper says they just publish online and they in Worcester. So there's a lot of unclarity. That's why we need to get more information on these. I wonder if it will be possible if MDDA at some stage can inform or the committee, if they can let us know how do they get to these amounts that they allocate to. On what grounds are they allocating? Because it's really a matter of concern if it's a taxpayer's money that's been handed out, and I think it's just important that we know how it's really all being distributed. And then on page 17, I just saw that there were four of the outreach programs that were mentioned in quarter two, but for some reason the events in quarter one, the four that has been done, was left out. Just if we can also get clarity on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kongwe. One would have wanted to engage broadly with the report, but I don't want to repeat what we've already discussed. Because I think we are the last line of defense for society as this committee. That's why whatever indeed we agree to communicate on should be clear. I'll just give you a few examples. I'll just use program one only. If you go to program one, you speak about percentage funded positions filled. Percentage funded positions filled as your performance indicator. You say your annual target is 90%. It appears what was achieved in quarter one was 44%. And you go and say in program two your target is 90%. I'm no longer sure whether that is a quarterly target or whether that is an annual target. Now, in trying to understand it, now making assumptions, if then 90% is a quarterly target and your actual there being 50%, your cumulative become 50% for two quarters when your percentage actual in quarter one is 44%. I totally get confused.
I don't know how do you then reach your cumulative. Because if your cumulative is 56%, in your quarter two your actual is 50%, 56%, and in your quarter one your actual is 44%. I think we need to get clarification because that's a total confusion as far as I'm concerned. So these are some of the issues, Chair, that one finds frustrating. If you come to employee development program developed, there's zero across horizontally and promised to report on quarter four. One suspects there must be progress on this work during the course of the year. Now, the question one is asking, how do we interact with that progress? Because you will not be starting to do this work at the end of the year. The purpose of meeting quarterly is to look at the progress until the final target. Now, same thing applies in intensive development program developed. You say there to be reported at the end, and it appears there is no work being done. If there's work being done, where is the report? The other interesting one is percentage of signed performance contracts. It is saying here annual target is 100%, but first quarter actually is 50%. Now, the question one asks, are we suggesting that by the end of the first quarter, there are performance contracts that were not signed? Because that's the only meaning it can give. Because if you say first quarter actual, let me read this properly as written here, percentage of signed performance contracts. My understanding is that performance contract before we start the year, we must have agreed how we are going to work with one another. But here you are saying first quarter, the actual is 50%. So it means 50% of what has not been signed. How are those people working? And if you go, you proceed there, you go to quarter two, and each quarter has got 100%. And then if you say 50 plus 6 is 100, and then you've got a cumulative, which is 50, that's total confusion. It could be confusion because of my poor understanding. Then I would need clarification, because it's possible that it's a confusion to me. Now, you come to number of projects monitored. That is page 21. Now, it says there, target 30, right? And you say, no, target 75. Says quarter one, the actual is 24. In that instance, it means 51 projects at the end of the water call, at the end of quarter one, are not being monitored. That's exactly the kind of language that one is trying. If you say 75, is it 75 monitorings, or is it 75 projects to be monitored? If it's 75 projects to be monitored, and you say the actual in first quarter is 24, it means 51 are not being monitored in quarter one. Who is monitoring them? And then you have your variance, which I no longer understand what it means. If you go back, I'm sorry, I missed page 10 back. Percentage funded, positions filled. Oh no, I've already spoken about that. And you've got that variance already, I've spoken about that. And the last one. Page 22, contract management strategy developed. Contract management, if I remember, you will correct me, Chair, is the relationship we have between us as government and those who provide services. They will explain if that is not the case. But if that is the case, It is a contract that strategy is a strategy that must be there before you even interact with those people. But here you are told that target is one, and then you will get the report at the end of the year, which presupposes that there is no strategy in place to interact with our service or to call providers. But now I'm doing guesswork because of the nature of reporting that is here. Right? It is in that instance, Chair, that one says, this is seriously problematic. And we are the last line of defense here for society. And that's how serious we should take ourselves in interacting with these reports. Because to me, this is a total confusion.
Chair, let me appreciate the presentation and also raise some few issues that I have noted from the presentation. But let me start, Chair, on a positive note. There was a slide that talks to the issues that were raised in some of our interactions with MDDA. I think I appreciate the fact that the presentation gives us progress in terms of the work that has been done in that particular area. I think we must commend MDDA for that initiative. Secondly, I was also looking at the slide that talks to the community radio and community print media that we have funded as the MDDA. And altogether, while I was counting, I see we have funded about 15 new ones. I'm talking about community radio and print, and about 14, those that are just being strengthened. It means these are the old projects that we have started some time back. And the difficulty that I'm faced with, Chair, is the concern that we always raise, that if the focus becomes us starting new ones, if we are not able to strengthen or do more work in the area of strengthening the ones that we have started in the past, of course, given budgetary constraints that we have, it becomes a bit of a challenge. Unless if we were to say some of those that have applied for funding did not comply in one way or another, I'll understand. But my worry is if we continue to fund new ones, while from the audit that we have requested in the past, of which we have not yet received, unless, Chairperson, from your office, that report has reached you. If we continue to support new ones, while the old ones continue to struggle, it becomes a serious challenge which needs to be arranged somehow. As I've indicated, unless if there are reasons which says some of those that applied did not comply in one or another. The last one, Chair, talks to the audit findings. I see the report says about 23 of the 36 issues that were raised by the Auditor General in the 15-16 financial year have been attended to. And I would have appreciated, especially in the respect to the key ones, those that were highlighted by the Auditor General, just to refresh our minds, those that have been attended to and those that have not been attended to, those key ones, we will definitely appreciate, so that ourselves from the oversight work that we're supposed to know, to do, we know exactly the kind of progress that has, that has been made in that particular area. Thank you, Chair.
I guess all hands are down. Just again on program one, MDDA chair and your team, there is a new organogram approved in line with the new strategy, that's what it says. And for sure, strategy must be informed. And maybe if you can explain to us what informs the strategy. Remember, if I'm right, unless otherwise, MDDA is conducting an impact assessment, and we'll assume that the findings of that assessment will definitely feed to the strategy. So if you can just explain to us as to what's going on there. There is an organogram, then there is a strategy, and all of that. And on program four, before I come to you, Honorable Kumbel, on program four, performance indicator four, if you go back to program four, talks about the media literacy that was delayed as a result of availability of schools. Some clarity on that one? It's there on program four. Can't remember which page, but it's on page. Yeah. So if you can clarify that and the issues that are in program one relating to the strategy and the impact assessment, just clarify on that. Just elaborate, because again we have nowhere to refer. The question of the narratives comes back. Honorable Kumbel.
Just one point, at the risk of appearing to be predisposed negatively, I think it was important for me, Chair, to acknowledge that what has been properly corrected is vision, mission, and values. The language, if everything can flow in that fashion, because they are no longer articulating vision as an activity. They articulate it as a state and the purpose of the mission. I think I must actually give credit to the MDG on that aspect. You can't do it better than that.
We'll proceed to another entity. We've taken time for the other entity. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to honorable members for questions. I'll deal with the strategic related issues, and my other colleagues will deal with the operational related. I mean, I'm sure they will cut across. I think I probably need to, Chair, to really start on the strategy question that you had raised in relation to what has informed the organogram. When we appeared before the committee previously, we had indicated that the MDDA Act is fairly old, so it needs to be reviewed. And the minister had indicated that it's something that she's going to be tabling in the coming financial year. That's the first. And the second issue is that we had undertaken the social impact study, which we will share with the committee. And the essence of it really, it seeks to measure whether community media and the projects that we fund are really making a difference in terms of the material conditions on the ground and in fact they truly become the platform for engagement and interaction with communities and taking up issues that are related with development discourse in communities. And then the third issue, Chair, is that what also fundamentally informed our strategy was the fact that we'd actually discovered that in our own pursuit of implementing our mandate has been that we've actually defined the two critical concepts within the MDD, which is development and diversity, in a very narrow form. The narrow form meaning that we've just been giving funding. So one of the key things that we've done, we've brought in the form. Amongst the, one of the key things we're taking up is issues of media transformation, and then the other one is really relating to the fact that the issue of diversity must really be reflecting on issues of women, must reflect on issues of working class, but as well as it must actually ensure that we fundamentally develop and support the sustainability of community media. And that leads me to the question that Honorable Van Dijk has raised, which really is about what's the model that MDD use in terms of funding its projects. And I think Honorable said is asking the similar question, is that what is the model that you're using, whether you're looking at strengthening or actually supporting the new projects. I think one of the key issues that I need to really outline is that as the board, our philosophy is not one size fits all. We look at the material conditions under which the project is, and as well as look at what we call socio-economic linkages within that community. Because one of the things that we've actually discovered within our own work is that the sustainability of community media projects is actually linked to the vibrancy of the economic development, but fundamentally the strength of local governance in those communities. So the weaker the local governance of those communities, the weaker the project would be. Then, of course, it does require more funding from our side. And so hence you're going to see funding for Zibonelo for 2.2, and then you find funding for another station for $500,000. Because in essence, we really look at what is it that is available as a resource that can use within us and also outside of us. I think there's a bigger question that Honorable said you're raising around the issue of strengthening versus the new radio station. And I'm calling it a bigger question because it's a policy question that needs to come back to this committee. I think ICASA has also been challenged with that issue around the issuing of licensing, particularly for broadcasting media, because they have imposed a moratorium, and we support because we've actually discovered that community projects are not able to sustain themselves. I mean, today we're sitting with 271 community radio stations. We've been informed that CENTEC is likely to switch off between 30 to 40 community radio stations because they can't afford the transmission cost. And so what becomes a bigger question is, from a police perspective, what is the future of the community media? That's one. But as well as, what is the better resourcing model that we actually need to develop? Hence, part of our intervention now is that we're pursuing social integration where communities are able to use one platform and be able to communicate, but as well as look at how do they leverage actual resources by actually combining actually a bigger communities. I think the issue around the audit findings, I think we will share with you, Comrade City. We didn't really think that we needed to bring the list of the audit findings where we've made progress. We'll certainly share that. We'll also share with the committee the issues of the new organogram so that we can see the difference in relation to what is the old strategy and what is the new strategy, and how does that new strategy is linked to the current, how is that organogram linked into the current strategy. I think I'm going to allow my colleagues to speak specifically on the questions that Honorable Kongubele had asked and is on his way out. But we will ask, we will answer the questions on the specifically on HR issues. I hope you're not going out. On HR issues around the numbering, and specifically the technical numbering versus 50%, 100%, and 90%. Tembi, can you respond?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just to add to the responses given by the chair, the questions raised by Honorable Van Dijk, indeed, in how we respond and support our project, it's determined by the needs assessment and processes that include evaluating the requirements as required by the by our applicants. There is no specific or total figure that is directed to an individual project, as the needs would vary from one project to another. And specifically to the questions that raised around Zibonele, Winelands, Echo, Kwezi News, maybe to clarify to the committee that there's a combination of print and broadcast supported programs here. And I'm sure as the country would witness that there's been lack of funding for the print activities. As MDDA, we've experienced the pull-out from the Big Four support over the past 2 years, and that automatically meant that we are unable to support the print space as we have in the past. Again, in terms of the strengthening of activity and just a new supporting the new projects, as Honorable Tsedi has indicated, there's different reasons for the same. One would include the compliance issues. We disperse our funding in tranches, and as determined by the compliance of the project supported. If the project was supported, though there might be a need to strengthen, but if there's non-compliance with the statutory obligations, for an example, as MTTA, we are unable to support the same. But our funding model and strategy as revised seeks to ensure that we strengthen the sustainability of the sector, and we do acknowledge the fact that sustainability cannot be limited to funding support, but also talks to issues of governance, community participation, and issues of ownership and control. So our support as MDDA is responsive and is not only limited to funding only, but also it's the issues of just capacity building and ensuring that there's relevant development and training in our rolling out. In terms of the filling of vacancies, I think I must share with the committee that over the past year we focused much on the reviewing of our organogram and skills development and just as a profiling of positions, and as we targeted for the complement of 900% for the end of the financial year, there's various processes that have been implemented to include that, to ensure that there's skills assessment and also just the training profiling of positions, and ensuring that we are responsive to the digital migration space. So it was not just a matter of having the position filled. There's a progress around that, and I must indicate to the committee that Q1 and Q2 or the period or the report is limited to the achievements up to Q2. I must give the committee the comfort to say that the vacancy rate, as indicated, is only limited to the period under review. There's progress demonstrated, which would be reported to during Q2 and Q3 and Q4. Most of the questions around the targets, I think as an organization, we are supposed to report in accordance with what we have submitted to the committee. However, we have identified the smartness of our target as the challenge, and we have since revised and improved on that, meaning that we'll be able to report in future based on specific numbers on our targets as opposed to percentage, so that we assist the committee to understand our interventions. In terms of the contract management strategy and the contract register, those exist as in terms of how we relate with projects. Our relationship is governed by the contractual obligations that we have with various parties. However, I must indicate on the aspect that since due to the issues of vacancies that were not filled, there is an area where the same needs to be reviewed, and every MDDA has taken it into control that every contract are signed. Maybe just to explain again in terms of contracts of employment, I think I must explain, we did identify that in our review processes that it might be presented or it might appear different from what it is. For every employee at MDDA currently, we have a contract of employment as required, and we conduct our performance reviews on quarterly basis, and this meant and was referring to the issues of vacancies at the time, meaning that at the time of a period under review, we were at 50% in terms of filling of vacancies as initially would have been committed to communicated to the committee. So that, just to correct, it does not refer or may not mean that there are employees whom are not contracted as the organization, but we have since corrected that as part of our reporting for future. In regards to the audit findings, I think to not mislead the committee, we would want to be factual and share the progress as the chair has indicated. And also, the chair has asked a question regarding how, what informs our strategy. I think as a basic, it's the mandate and
that has been dealt with.
Okay. And then in the impact assessment, we do anticipate that the impact assessment might have or might make recommendations that might need the organization to revisit the strategy. I must say the impact assessment is to guide the agency in terms of its relevance and responding to its mandate and whether are we responsive enough or are there any changes that we might need to address going forward. I'm sure we are all aware about the media transformation as well as the digital migration, which were not there at the time when MDDA was set up. And in terms of our impact assessment, I think it's also going to guide the agents in terms of making significant inputs in the review of the Act. Thank you, Chair.
I think
maybe, sorry, Chair, maybe just what I have missed out is that we have established the IT committee, which again was the question that was raised by the committee here, and also it was also raised at during the audit findings, as the findings will be shared. That is also one aspect that you need to assure the committee that it has since been addressed.
All right. Brenda say, Chairperson? Can you start?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Thank you for having us today. Mine is just to take you through the structure of the presentation today, which you have previously received. We will take you through the mandate, the organizational values, corporate governance, human capital, and the two GOTA reports, GOTA 1 and GOTA 2. Before we do that, we would just like to show you a little clip. And once I have introduced the mandate as well as the new board, our CFO, Alice Puane, will take you through the rest of the presentation. Out the technology, and maybe I shouldn't take it for granted. My name is Khanyisile Goyama, and I am the chairperson of Brand SA. The mandate of Brand SA, just to probably refresh the committee, is to manage the nation brand both domestically and internationally. How we do that is by proactive and coordinated reputation management. This means we monitor and analyze sentiments and performance of the nation's brand so that we are then able to develop appropriate responses as well as to interface meaningfully with stakeholders who drive or influence the reputation of the brand. We also proactively engage in coordinated communication which highlights the country's value proposition and value systems, as well as articulate progress that is being made in this regard. Lastly, we proactively and coordinate the marketing of the brand, which means we act as the chief marketing agency of the country, as well as integrate and coordinate efforts and approaches around advocacy for the optimal brand and identify positioning, as well as to market the nation's brand identity. How do we do this? We ensure that first there are sound governance and organizational effective, and that is governance is in place. So this is the foundation underpinning all of our efforts. In order to ensure that this foundation is properly developed, there are certain organizational values in place. And as we know, values are what we should not only preach, but we should practice. And we commonly abbreviate this and call this DICU. This is D. The first D is for determination, which is the ability to refuse to give up despite the challenges. The I stands for integrity. We are honest, or rather we should be honest, but as well as demonstrate the strong moral principles. We should not just only say it, but they should be practiced. Diversity stands for acceptance and respect of our diversity, and that is within internally as an organization as well as in the country. Innovation is the unique ideas that are based on insights. We deal with diversity also means we are also needing to communicate to a very diverse population in terms of age, gender, all the various factors. Cooperation, working together towards a common goal. This should be the glue that cements us as a country. And finally, but not least, is Ubuntu, the respect, the compassion, and humanity that we should and should demonstrate as South Africans. Together, that is DICU. I am the new board of trustees. We are a new board that was appointed and assumed office on the 1st of June, 2016, The board is fully compliant. We have obtained letters of authority as per the Master of the High Court in terms of the deeds of trust. Board members were appointed in accordance with the new trust deed, which was amended in November 2015. And a key element of the trust deed is that the board members were reduced from a previous board of 30 to a now more agile board of 15. Three trustees who served on the previous board were retained in order to ensure board continuity. The new board has been inducted, I can confirm that, during the first quarter, in order to acquaint its members with the new governance environment in accordance with good corporate governance practices. The structure that you will see on the next page talks to the Board of Trustees that I have just described. The board has got three committees, the Marketing Committee, the HR and Remuneration Committee, which also fulfills the role of being a social and ethics committee, as well as the audit and risk committee. Then the executive management, which is led by our CEO, Ambassador Dr. Makubela. He has so many titles now that we spend a whole page describing it, but we are very proud that he received his PhD in the last quarter of last year. If Alice has managed to bring up the video, she will bring it up, but otherwise she will then go into the rest of the presentation, starting with human capital. And Alice Buane is our CFO. Over to you.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, chairpersons of entities and CEOs and colleagues, thank you very much for this opportunity. I'll go through the slides quite quickly. I'm hoping that I will manage to be connected via the internet so that I can show an AV of our achievements through quarter one and quarter two. The first slide that I'll go through just reflects the workforce. We are 86% Africans, and then colored is 9%, Indians 3%, and then your white is 9%. In terms of gender diversity, we are more females at the organization, so we do meet the standards. At least we are above 67%, and at the executive level we'll always be skewed like that because it's only five positions. It's either three males or three females, so depending what happens. And then our next slides then talk to disability. We've got one position currently with a person living with disability out of the 49. In future, should a position become vacant and it's possible to hire someone disabled in that position, that's the plan. During Q1, there was only one resignation, and that was voluntary resignation. And then the next slide then reflects our vacancy. Just before that, our vacancy rate was 4% during Q1, and when we go to the next slide that reflects the organogram, you see the positions, it's 2, 4, 6 positions were vacant, and some of them has been filled in Q2. And then I'll move on to the next slide that talks to the summary of our performance in Q1. Human capital, there's a policy that's a plan that's going to be presented to the board for approval, which is the HR plan. And information technology, we're busy. We've rolled out the implementation of the ERP, which we envisage that will be completed in Q1 of the new year. In finance, we had a target called a business case, which we then deferred and requested the minister to accept our proposal to amend the business plan, to remove it from the business plan. And then in program two and program three, the achievements are quite high. It's 95% and 100%. So if you compare our achievements of Q1 this year and the previous year, we've actually improved from 80% to 87%. And then the next slide that we have would be on finances. In Q1, our major cost drivers were salaries at 13 million, and this is just the cash component of it. The digital agency fees of 1.3. I'm just looking at figures that are above a million. A media partnership, the computer software, as I've indicated earlier, that we rolling out the implementation thereof. And then professional membership, this is for West Davos. And then I'll move on to the second slide that's got that expenditure per program. Administration, we underspend by 4.5 million. This was due to the vacancies that we have as the two country managers, the chief audit executive, the senior accountant, and professional fees for developing standard operational procedures. And this in Q2, some of the positions were filled, and in Q3 we were busy with the development of SOPs. And then in the brand and strategy management, we underspent in Q1 by 13 million. During Q1 we were finalizing the brand agency contracts. We appointed 4 agencies to assist, so we were executing further due diligence processes to ensure that there's fair distribution of work amongst the 4 service providers. And that was done, and most of the monies were spent during Q2. And then stakeholder relations, we managed to spend about 2 million of the 3 million, and this was due to the West Kigali invoices that we're still awaiting, because we couldn't even raise an accrual. We didn't know how much was due at the time. Then the next slide is just a summary of what happened in supply chain management. And then maybe if then I move on to, this is Q2. Q1, okay. Then it's the slides that really talk about the number of targets and why we say we achieved 87%. There were 19 targets in administration, and we managed to achieve 14 of those. And then the next slide then talks to the variance report, which I've spoken to when I talked to the summary dashboard up front. And then we'll move on to program 2. Program 2, we had 20 targets, and we achieved 19 of them. This is where I hope that my technology works, Chairperson, because you'd see what the 19 is, the show and tell. I'm hoping that we'll connect to the internet so that we show. But we managed to do, through our flagship programs, which is the Nation Brand Masterclass and the Play Your Part activation, we managed to activate quite a few interventions in Q1, the Freedom Day, ambassadors in KZN, and we also activated awareness of the South African Constitution, because we are mandated so, in order to contribute towards achievement of Outcome 14. And then there was 2 research studies that were conducted in the African continent, that was Mozambique and Ghana. And we continue to then engage with stakeholders, particularly with a huge focus towards the youth. We looked at the JCI with the Junior Chamber International, and we also looked at collaborating with IM Entrepreneur and Bokamoso, which is Ukusasa Mentorship, looking at matriculants in schools. And of course, there was West Kigali that also took place in Q1. We also managed to conclude and activate with Constitution Hill. And then in Program 3, which is the next slide, we managed, of course, to achieve all the targets we've set during Q1. And then maybe if I can then move to the next slides and then talk to performance in Q2. Performance in Q2, the dashboard, we still have the business plan. Of course, we won't remove it until we get approval to do so from the committee via the minister. Sorry, Q2, yeah. And then we looked also at the challenges that we have in opening up an office in China, and we still continued with the implementation of the ERP during Q2, which obviously, as I indicated earlier, will be completed at least in Q1 of the new financial period. And we also looked at the compliance with the legislative environment, which we strive, if we can, to comply with 100%. There are a few things that we are putting into place that will assist us in achieving this. And then if we compare our performance of this quarter to the previous quarter, we remain the same at 83%. And then we go to the statistics again. The workforce hasn't changed. We're still predominantly Africans. And also when it comes to female, to the gender demographics, we still remain women, female heavy, in it's not heavy compliant is the correct word, in all management in other except for in the top management. We still maintained our status of one individual with living with disability. And in Q2, again, the next slide, we saw only two resignations, and all of the resignation was due to voluntary resignation. And we have a vacancy rate of 5.88%. And then the next slide then talks to the monthly income versus the expenditure. If you look at May, this is where we received our first tranche. That's the reason why it's out on its own like that. And in August, this is where we received our second tranche. And when you look at the bars relating to expenditure, you can see that during Q2, we actually started executing because we finalized the brand agencies. So expenditure spiked in Q2. In order to realize and activate the deferred activities from Q1. And then the next slide then looks at which internally department is the cost driver, and obviously as it shows there is the marketing, because that's our core. And then the next slide then talks to the major cost drivers again. Salaries has remained our main cost drivers, with professional services, which is more your agency fees, the retainer fees there. The computer expenses still come through because of the ERP system, and the research, of course, in Q2. And then our next slide then talks to the performance in terms of the programs administration. There was under again of 19.25, obviously because of the two country managers position that hasn't been filled, and the chief internal auditor position. And then the strategy, you can see that the budget was 21, sorry, 72. Q1 20. This still talks to Q1. It can't be Q2. Sorry, Chairperson. I think this is the other way around. This is Q1, because in Q1 we didn't spend much money. It was deferred to Q2. So this is what it is. And the explanation above, I think it's we just didn't show it correctly in Q1 and Q2. But this talks to that. I think then, accumulatively, then we go to the next slide. Then we see what happens. administration overall to date up until the end of September. In administration, we underspent by 12.4%, which is obviously the vacancies and the provision of the leave pay and annual bonuses that we just factor on a monthly basis. We've amortized it on a monthly basis, so it's just timing. And brand strategy, the total variance to date then came to 5.678 million, and that's a clear indication that we actually did execute our plans as per the business plan. And we further have a media buy-in that we did during Q3 to cater for the 5.6 million. And then in stakeholder relations, there was 1.3, mainly due to the activation of WEF Davos, which took place in January 2017. And most of the other expenses had to be paid during December, just to secure the place in WEF. I wouldn't go to the next slide. It's just a summary of what happened in the SCM. And then when we go again to just slide number 49, that talks to program one. I've spoken to that. I will skip it and then go to program two, which is on page 52. Out of the 20 targets, we met 19 targets, and there were quite a few things that happened. Can I just go back to administration, Chairperson? There's something important that we did. In administration, we managed to review our vision statement, which we then submitted, and we've changed it, hoping that they will get presented to the portfolio committee in the next sitting. And then in program two, there were also we managed to activate the player part cube. So we secured a cube that moves around the country and which is quite interactive. So we go from province to province with it and have South Africans coming in using the media platform, interacting and giving us also ideas and reasons why they play, how they play the part in the community and so on and so forth using that particular cube. And then we continued again. I think in Q2 there was a brand nation forum which was successfully attended, and the event itself was successful. Quite a few ideas came out of it, and we still followed in order to make sure that we have a same understanding of what nation brand is. And this was attended by a range of stakeholders ranging from government, business, civil society, and of course the media. And we still continue to buy more media space in Q2. We positioned the country by flighting our positioning advert in various media houses like CNN, I think in preparation again for the WEF Davos, and sending the message out there that South Africa is open for business. We also celebrated the top 50 brands during Q2 with brand finance. Chairperson, that's it from our side. Maybe if I could just try in the meantime while we prepare for questions and see if I can get my AV up. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just want to clarify two issues that the CFO presented.